meditated.
Musically meditated.
Musically meditated.
Welcome to the Musically Meditated Podcast. This is episode 2. I am your favorite podcast podcaster. My name is Joe Riley, a.k.a. James Joseph Riley, a.k.a. Joey Riley. I'm here with my sadistic Serbian sidekick, the Triple S, Sretton, Sret Dog, here at the Green Door. Sret, hey, how you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. Excited.
I know. First and foremost, we are at the awesome Green Door used bookstore here in Hobart. What's the address, Sretton?
220 Main Street.
220 Main Street.
I don't know the zip code.
46342.
Nice, yeah.
Let's start off. I was going through albums that came out this week or within the last couple months. There's a few gems. I'll talk about one here in a little bit. But one that came out the first quarter of the year, I think it came out in April, is an album by a rapper named Freddie Gibbs. He's actually from Gary, Indiana. And the album is kind of an EP. And when I say EP, people might not remember what the difference between an EP and an LP is. But an EP was basically three songs on one side of the record and three on the other. So it's like a half album. This is in between an album, which is usually 11 to 12 songs. And this has this has 10 songs, and it's only a half hour long. And it's called You Only Live Twice. And let me get into a little bit about Freddie Gibbs. He's a local boy, or I should say man, but he's a local boy, and he's from Gary, Indiana. And the first time he caught my attention was actually probably in 2010, 2011. He had already signed with Yeezy or something, or I think they call him Snowman. That's his nickname, but I don't remember exactly who he is because I don't follow his music, but he's a pretty big rap name, and he signed to him and moved out to LA. He came back here, and he bought the entire Westside Cougars football team all their cleats, and I thought that was pretty neat because I think it's neat when you get back to it.
Classy dude.
Yeah, you get back to the community. You got to love that. But at any rate, Freddie Gibbs, like I said, he's a Gary boy. He moved out to California to further his music career, which he did, but it didn't work out with that particular rapper, and he tried to go the commercial avenue, and it didn't work out. So that rapper dropped him, and he came out and did his own independent thing. So there were a couple albums that came out probably in 2010, 2012, and there was a few videos that were on YouTube. That's what caught my eye first, and they shot him in like Gary and stuff, and it was neat, you know, because you could kind of relate, and I thought that he was a pretty decent rapper. And then he teamed up with Madlib, and Madlib is a very prolific, iconic type of producer, and he came up with J Dilla, who is an iconic hip-hop producer. I don't know if you've ever heard of him, but he came up with him, and they would dig through records, find different samples, different time signatures, yada yada yada. He's worked with like MF Doom, and he's put out a ton of his own solo albums. Everybody should check out Madlib if you've never have. But he hooked up with Freddie Gibbs in 2014 and came out with this album called Pinata. And I heard about it, and then I heard the first single called Thugging, and it was awesome. And I was like, oh man, I can't wait for this to come out. So then it came out, and it's probably the best rap album, experimental rap album I've heard in years. So it really got my attention. So then I started to follow him a lot more as an artist. So back to this album that came out, You Only Live Twice. It's kind of a grown-up album for him. Like he's turning the next page. And he actually just wrote this album when he was wrongfully accused of sexual misconduct with a woman in France. Hmm. And he served 4 months locked up in Austria. So when he was locked up, he actually wrote this entire album. And getting into that case from interviews that I've watched about Freddie Gibbs, he just had a kid like a year and a half ago, and he got married. So he got accused of this right when that happened, and it was wrongfully done. And in his words, it had something to do with his friends or his crew when he was overseas. And he took the hit, like, hey, I don't know what happened. And he still claims, you know, he doesn't know what happened, but he took all the pressure off them. And so when he went back to Europe, within the last year, they were waiting for him in France. So they got him, and then they sent him to Austria, and then they're like, hey, you're going to have to stay here until we get everything straight. Like, everything's different there, right? So they bring the girl in, and she's like, oh, it wasn't him, it was his friend. He still had to stay there for a while, and his wife actually brought him some books, and he really got to reflect on his life, being a husband, having a kid now. So this album, he wrote it when he was locked up, and when it came out this year, like, I knew about this going on, but I was waiting for his collab back to Madlib. They were supposed to do like a part two, but it's supposed to be called Bandana, and that was supposed to come out this year, but he released this, and this is kind of like Freddie Gibbs grown up, you know, like looking, it's like him looking in the mirror, like all that stuff in the back, you know, his whole
thing. Is it still experimental?
It's very experimental.
Is there a big difference in development between this album and maybe like the first one that you got turned on to?
Well, yeah, his earlier stuff I didn't really care for. I didn't see anything. I don't know. Like, there's probably two mixtapes or two albums before the ones I referred to with the videos. I can't remember the name of them right now. But you can tell he was getting better at his craft by each album. But when he did that with Mad Lib, he uses so many different time signatures, Mad Lib does. It really pushed him to the forefront, is like how good he is at his craft. But that album is totally by itself. Everyone should check that out, especially if you're a hip-hop fan. But the one in between, Pinata and You Only Live Twice, that was a really good album too. That came out in 2015. I can't remember the name. But you can tell he went, how can I describe it? Like, the Mad Lib project was more him all over the place, but back to his street roots. And then the second one, in between, that came out in 15, he kind of went more of the misogynistic, typical hip-hop, thug, street lifestyle. But this one, he's kind of grown up, if that makes any sense.
Would you say Pinata and what?
Pinata came out in 14.
It says ESGN 2013, Shadow of a Doubt 2015.
Shadow of a Doubt, that's it. Okay. What was your question again? What was the difference?
Did you notice a difference? Like, did you notice the development? You know, there's some people, artists of all genres, like
right.
they kind of find the formula, they kind of find the thing that works,
right.
and they just, that's kind of it.
A really good introduction for Freddie Gibbs, not just to, here's a song, listen to it, but him as a person. I think he's the first rapper to come out in a long time that has a Tupac vibe to him, but it's legitimate. Like, I'm not putting him on the same pedestal as Tupac, but as far as pulling off the whole thug imagery, but really good with the rhymes, like, he's the first thing since Tupac, in my opinion. You know, like, his whole look, like, he doesn't seem fake at all, you know, in any aspect of whatever he's talking about. And, like, that's not just a bias thing because he's from right down the road, but if you really dig into him as a person, you know, and see what he's about and see what he has to say. Like, everything seems pretty legitimate in the same regards as a Tupac. Like, they have a similar look with the shaved head and the tattoos and all that, but that's the best way I could describe him. You know, like, he's not Tupac, but he's the closest thing Tupac since, you know, as far as that whole thuggish attitude. And with this album, it's more of a maturing process. If you listen to the actual lyrical content, like, he's growing up, you know, like, he's looking at all, like, you know, his past vices or past mistakes because he was locked up and lost his freedom for 4 months. And back to that story, I know I'm jumping around. He basically took a hit for his buddy. Who knows what really happened with that? And when he was coming home to expect to, like, hey, how you doing, blah, 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 nobody was there, you know? So there's a lot of that going on in the album too. Like, hey, you know, you have all these people surrounding you. How many of them do you actually need? Who was really there for you when shit hit the fan? And his wife was, you know, and he's like, hey, I was so focused on my buddies and sticking up for my buddies where I lost my way, and I should have been focusing on my family and my daughter. So that's what this album's doing. Like, I think there's an element to Freddie Gibbs that's never going to end. Like, he's got to keep up with that persona of, you know, ex-drug dealer, tough guy on the streets, and he pulls it off because, like I said, he just seems just really legit about it. You know, he talks about old gang stuff, and he'll bring up streets, and he'll bring up certain street gangs and sets, and it's like, whoa, that guy, you know, if you know anything about Gary or the Chicagoland area, it's like, okay, like, he's legitimate here, like, this is no BS. But it's going to be interesting to see where he goes with, especially this next Mad Lib project, you know, because is he going to be the old Freddie Gibbs again, or is he still going to go in between, you know, the newer and improved grown up Freddie Gibbs? Mm-hmm. So with this album, like I said, it's basically an EP. Crushed Glass was the first single. Everyone should check that out. That's a good start. And what Freddie Gibbs does that a lot of rappers can't do, in my opinion, is he will sing his own hooks, and he started that with The Rearview, but with Shadow of a Doubt especially, he would sing his own hooks, and there's not a lot of rappers that can pull that off, but with him, oddly enough, like, he's able to do it, and he shows that too on this newer album. You Only Live Twice. Like he can actually harmonize and sing. Like there's a lot of rappers out there that do that now, but they have that vocal effect and it just seems real plastic and it just doesn't seem original.
Or they auto-tune the shit out of it.
Yeah, they auto-tune. Thank you. They auto-tune it. And like Eminem too, like I've always liked Eminem, especially his first two albums, but I think his third one, he started to sing his own hooks and his own chorus, like his own chorus, and it's just garbage. I mean, that's just my opinion, but you can either pull it off or you can't. So when I first heard him do that, Shadow of a Doubt, I was like, ugh, like, I don't know about this, you know, but it grew on me and Freddie could really do it. So like I said, he's a really good rapper. He's he's definitely an independent rapper. But he's one of the best in the game. And what's neat about this, You Only Live Twice, all of his last two projects especially, he's had a ton of cameos and a ton of different rappers on there. But with this You Only Live Twice, it's just him. There's no cameos. There's nothing. And that's what's neat about this album. Like, he's extremely vulnerable, but he still keeps that thuggish edge of Freddie Gibbs. But he just really opens up, and it's neat to see an artist do that. Like, he did that on Shadow of a Doubt a little bit, but on this album particularly, like, he really opens up. Alexis is a good song, Crushed Glass, and Homesick. And Homesick kind of goes back into, like, the story that I told about him not being here and his wife coming and bringing him books and nobody spoke English. And when he was locked up too, his uncle, I remember on his social media, he'd have his uncle there and he lives in Gary and he would just do silly stuff. His name was like Big Time Watts and his uncle passed away when he was locked up too. So this guy essentially went through a lot, you know, within 6 months. He was locked up in a different country and nobody spoke English and nobody was there for him. So you could tell he wrote this when he was locked up. He had the pinata thing also, but he's like, oh, hold on. I got to put this out. Like, this is the direction I'm going as an artist. Because he said, he mentioned in an interview when he first came out, he didn't even know if he wanted to do music anymore. You know, he's like, I got out of the streets and selling drugs and gangbanging because there's no future to it. And he's like, and here I am doing music, something that I love, and I'm back in the same place. I'm in a jail. He's like, so I don't know if I want to do this anymore. But he worked it out and he came out with this album and I really, really like it. So shout out to Freddie Gibbs. Definitely, if you've never heard of him, check out Pinata. It's amazing. Shadow of a Doubt's great. And this album, like those three, like you could really, Thuggin's a good introduction song for Freddie Gibbs just to feel him out and go from there. Moving on to, let's go into what's hot as far as singles and what's not. The first single that I listened to that came out this week is actually on the FIFA video game. So I was like, okay, that's weird, but it's the new Run the Jewels song. And it's a really, really good track. I would say this is their first commercial tune. You like Run the Jewels, though, don't you?
Yeah.
What's your favorite album?
I don't know. I like the song Gold.
Okay.
I like that song. I'm new to the whole thing. I can't remember a lot of these songs. I can't. There's a lot of it. It took me, I told you, I listened to them so many times, and it for sure took me 7 months to realize that the black dude is Killer Mike.
Killer Mike, right.
I didn't make the connection. That? Yeah. I did not make the connection. I was like, just one day I was driving to work and I was like, this guy really sounds like Killer Mike.
Yeah.
Because it's him.
It is him. But yeah, an LP. But yeah, the new single is called Mean Demeanor. And if you've never heard of Run the Jewels, definitely check that out. It's a banger. It'll make your system sound awesome and it'll be a good introduction. And like I said, I think they have commercial success. But if you're on FIFA video game stuff, you're doing the right thing in a commercial make money kind of standpoint. Like, you know.
Right.
So good for them. Another what's hot type of single that came out that I really enjoy is the new Redman and Method Man song. But it's actually Wu-Tang, but Redman and Method Man haven't done anything in a while, but Redman and Wu-Tang haven't done anything in a long time. And a lot of people get that confused. They think that Redman is a part of the Wu-Tang clan and he's not. So if you didn't know that, I guess now you know. But it's called People Say, and it starts off with Method Man, then it goes into Raekwon from Wu-Tang, then it goes to Redman, then it goes into Spekta Deck, and then Masta Killa. And the best verse out of the whole song, I would have to say, it's hard to compete with Method Man. He starts it off nice, and then I was really surprised with Masta Killa's verse because he's kind of like the forgotten ninth member of Wu-Tang Clan. And when he first joined, he wasn't the best, and he was like an apprentice technically under the Jizza, and just throughout the years, he's getting better and better as he goes along. So I'd say Method Man's verse is the best. I was really happy with Masta Killa's. So who's your favorite Wu member?
Method Man.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Just because I don't know if I can name anymore.
Can you name all nine?
No. No, I can't. I definitely can't. I also feel silly saying their names. I don't have that Wu-Tang name confidence.
No, they all have aliases too.
I can't, like, Ghostface Killah. Yeah, it's Ghostface. I feel funny. Mm-hmm. But when Method Man and Redman were doing stuff back in whatever that was, like 97 or 98.
Right.
When they, I think that's when they started. I was a huge fan.
Were you?
I liked all their, like, every song was good to me.
How High? Remember How High? Was
yeah.
It, or was that
the movie?
Yeah, the movie, but there was a song. Was that just a Redman song? I think it was.
Maybe.
And then when I was looking up this new single, another one just came out too, and it's called Lesson Learned, apostrophe D, learned. and that's with Inspected Deck. You know what? That's one member too of Wu-Tang. Like a while ago, he's like, I'm done releasing solo stuff. And none of his solo stuff was really anything to brag about or going anywhere, in my opinion. Like it just wasn't, but he's like, I'm still going to do Wu stuff and project, you know, like with different people. And he's really come a long way. Like I've always liked Inspected Deck. He's always notable for like opening a Wu-Tang track. Mm-hmm. Like that was his thing. And he joined this group called Sarface, and it has like this whole comic book theme. It's really, really cool. You should check it out. He's just killing it, like on the Wu album that came out a couple years ago. He's always been awesome, but it just seems like he's kind of found his niche or something. Like he's just killing it. But yeah, definitely check out the new Wu-Tang. It's great. I'm going to move on to a new album that just came out actually a few weeks ago, and it's by the alternative rock, post-punk, pop punk emo band. That's the best way I could describe them, is Brand New. You ever listened to Brand New before?
No.
Never? Okay. They came out in the early 2000s from Long Island. I didn't care for them back then. There was three bands that came out of Long Island that were all kind of doing the same thing, that had the same theme. They were a little bit more pop punk, so I've never been a big pop punk guy, but it was Glassjaw from Long Island, Thursday, and Brand New. And that's the order I like them, like from least to greatest. So their first couple albums, going back as I got into them later on, there's some gems in there, you know, some ballads that I definitely like. Like, I Believe You, But My Tommy Gun Doesn't, like, or Don't. You know, that's a great song by them. But their third album, The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, is an amazing album. But this album's called Science Fiction, that just came out a couple of weeks ago, and it's rumored to be their last. So we'll see what happens with that. But this is also one of those albums, kind of like Freddie Gibbs' release, that it's moving in a more mature direction. You know, it's kind of a look in the mirror, reflective, hey, this is where my life is, and this is where my life may go. It's just extremely mature. Like I said, Jamie Lacey is the singer. He's a really, really good songwriter and lyricist, and he's always had this element of, I guess, like a personal struggle. A lot of his lyrics go in the direction of, does God exist? You know, like he always has this questioning of God and science and like real life. Like, does it all make sense? Is there a God? And you look into his actual life and he was raised, you know, like a preacher's son or something. So I get that vibe with this new album too. There's a lot of lyrics that are questioning, but not in a negative way, but you know, is this true? Is this not true? And it's a pretty decent listen. It's definitely a grower, not a shower. The first time I listened to it, I was kind of bored, kind of yawning, you know, like, I don't know. But let me check it out. I really like Brand New. So the more I listened to it, it definitely started to grow on me, you know. But
so again, for that genre of music,
okay,
does maturity work? Because isn't it, it's supposed to have like it's multi-layered in a way. There's simplicity to the music in a way.
Yeah.
But then there's also like a youthful.
Yeah, let me get into that. Their early stuff had that youthful kind of whiny pop punk. But with The Devil and God Are Raging Inside Me, that has more of an indie rock, alt rock vibe. And the lyrics are way more mature. Like that was their first actual big record label release. And they took the longest time on that. And when they were recording that, Jamie Lacey lost a loved one, and then two other guys in the group like lost their buddies in a car accident. So that particular album has, you know, a depressing, somber tone, but it has that element of light at the end of the tunnel, you know? So if you've ever gone through any, like, you know, experiences of death or struggle, that's definitely a good one to put on. I mean, it helped me through dealing with some death in my life. It kind of sucks to go back to it because it might bring you back there, but you know, that's, I think they were forced to grow up. Like sometimes you are forced to grow up.
Right.
You know, and I think that album's like a really good reflection of it. And with Science Fiction, it's kind of a turn to the end, you can tell it might be their last one because the one before that is called Daisy. That came out in 2008. In that album, they had like elements of what's neat about Brand New is every album is progressive and it doesn't sound like the next. They're one of those bands, you know, like you can tell they had their pop punk roots. And then with The Devil and God, they went a more progressive rock indie way with like very intense lyrics, you know. And then with Daisy, that came out in 08, they experimented with a lot of different types of music, which was really neat. Like I said, there's elements of bluegrass, there's elements of blues, definitely, like I said, a 90s alternative rock, but he wasn't scared to scream either, you know, emotionally. But with this new one, it's just, you can hear Nirvana in there. When I say alt rock, you can hear some Nirvana melody, you can hear some Vitalogy melody from Pearl Jam also, you know, like, it's matured in the song structure and the song, the lyrics, and just not as whiny or any screaming, you know, like, not that that's immature, but they're going, it's like the only thing with this album is like, I was expecting a little bit more as far as like, we're done, you know, see you later. Like, boom, here's the big punch. But it's not that at all. It's like slowly putting the candle out instead of just blowing it out. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with that. And they're actually coming to the Riviera in Chicago next month. Yeah, so it might be their last farewell show. I did see them twice last year. I saw them at Riot Fest, and then I saw them on their own tour, like right before the 4th of July in 2016.
They good live?
Yeah, they're really good live. Their guitar sound is neat, too. You know what they had, too? Like I was talking last week about the OCs, they had two drummers live. And there's nothing better than one drummer, but two drummers, if that makes any sense. But you know what I'm saying? Like, They were really good live. Really good live. At Riot Fest, the sound was terrible on the main stage. They were on the main stage. So, I mean, I kind of knew that going into it. But when I saw them at their own show, their own tour outside, they were really, really good. You got to check out Science Fiction. It's number one on the rock charts right now. There's a couple songs on there that may be on the radio. I don't listen to the radio very often, you know. But they're definitely a rock band that's important, that's not scared to take chances, digging, like taking shit from the past, if that makes any sense. Like,
right.
They didn't push the envelope on this new one, but they weren't scared to go back and just take like basic time signatures and drum signatures and just kind of keep it like a 4-4, 4-2 pattern, you know, song, chorus, you know what I'm saying? Like just a basic approach. And, I don't know. They're definitely a band somebody should check out. Another song, as far as bangers, singles, I'll go back to the whole single thing here. A hardcore band from Salem, Massachusetts that I love, Converge. They're coming out with a new album very soon, but they've released two singles. I'm really happy that Converge is coming out with something new because a lot of people like to rip them off, and they're a good band to rip off. if that makes any sense. And when I say that, like, their production is always really tight. The guy's name is Kurt Ballou, their guitarist, and he's produced countless amounts of records, and especially in the hardcore punk scene. But they just released, like I said, two different singles. Reptilian is the one that just came out. I think it was yesterday, and it has, you know what? Converge is really good at building up the anticipation and then just exploding, you know, like just, you kind of feel it. It's coming. And then just boom, like it's just aggressive. It's no holes barred. And they're just killing it.
Both of the singles are really good.
They're very good. Under Duress is the other one. I like that better than Reptilian. It came out first. And like I said, all the breakdowns are great. The song structure is great. The lyrics are intense. Like if you actually read them and the way he delivers them, it's not for anyone that's scared of screaming, you know, like he's not singing like love ballads. Like he is sometimes, like his lyrics are about love and loss and so on and so forth, but he's aggressive. He's in your face aggressive, like all the time. So that's definitely one you should check out. Another thing that I thought that was really interesting, I brought it up last week, was the whole Post Malone number one on Spotify.
Yeah, yeah.
Today, I was looking at the top hits, okay, on Spotify. I didn't go on the Billboard. So on Spotify, I went through the top 50 in America, and there wasn't one rock song. Not one.
Really?
Everything is hip-hop or R&B, but basically hip-hop. And what I thought was very ironic that Post Malone is still number one and the song's called Rockstar. What's going on? Now, here's my spin on that. Evidently, there is no marketing strategy to promote rock and roll as a marketable thing for whatever reason. I know that there's different bands out there that may have started punk rock or rock, or just artists in general that are jumping over to the hip hop, okay, like the hip hop world. And it's a genre that I like to call and others like to call alternative hip hop, okay? And getting into that, there's a rap alternative band called Injury Reserve that is exactly that. And that's a good place to start with that. And getting into them, they just came out with another EP. I don't want to call it an EP. I don't want to call it an album because I'm weird about that stuff. Like, if it's going to be an album, better be 11 or 12 songs an hour long. I'm just old school. So they came out with an actual album in December of 16. And this is kind of a EP that's vibing off of that release. And this EP, they're going a little bit more of a commercial avenue. So check out the new Injury Reserve EP. Drive It Like It's Stolen is what it's called. My favorite song on that, and it was the first single, is called North Pole. That has a mature vibe to it too. I guess I'm into all this mature music. I must be mature.
You must be mature or maturing.
I think I'm maturing. Yeah, I'm at that age.
Good for you, man.
Thanks, dude. I really appreciate it. And you know, that's got a mature vibe as far as personal self-growth, and I want to be this guy or that girl. I don't know. And then See You Sweat is that club. That club jam. I think the title of that self-explanatory.
Big Tunnel Swing.
Yeah, big Tunnel Swing. But definitely check out Injury Reserve. S on Your Chest is a really good song. You know, a little Superman reference there for all you nerds. Oh Shit, that's self-explanatory. That's probably my favorite song by them. I don't want to call it a 2017 release, but if you release stuff in December of 16, I guess that's a 17 release. Floss was the 2016 release. You know, an actual album, 12 songs, and Drive It Like It's Stolen is actually only 7 songs long. So we'll call that an EP. But back to that, with the whole looking up the top hits, Post Malone Rockstar is still number one. So I went through all of this, okay? And I was like, well, I'm going to look at the top three and see if, like, I don't hate the Post Malone song, but it just doesn't have a lot of substance. Like I mentioned before, like it could be on at the bar and you'd be like, all right, or, you know, maybe one of your friends likes that and puts it on. But I did come across this actually extremely popular song. It was like number 2 or number 3, and it's by a female rapper named Cardi B. Have you heard of this fine young lady? I'll give you a little background on her, though. She's a stripper, or was a stripper. And now she's a rapper.
Oh, my.
So good for her. Way to go, Cardi B. Way to persevere. That's good. Mm-hmm. Strippers, you have hope, always. But anyway, Cardi B, she's a female rapper, and the single's called Bodak Yellow. You haven't heard it?
No.
Well, what's funny about this song, too, is online, I was like, when I first listened to this, I was like, this is like a female, like, you know, like a female anthem, like an independent, you know, I'm going to walk
all
empowerment. Like, you know, she's going to do what she wants, sleep with whoever she wants and buy really expensive clothes and such. And on the internet, there's this video and there's this guy, he's like in the club or at the bar and his girlfriend is rapping this song word for word, like in his face, like spitting in his face, just all of it. He's just trying to look the other way, you know, like this and that. And he has his drink and she like knocks his drink out of his hand or something crazy. But yeah, the Cardi B single is pretty awesome. Bodak Yellow. My favorite line is she doesn't have to dance. Wait, how's this go? I'm so super white. I don't dance now. I make money moves. Say I don't got to dance. I make money moves. So she doesn't have to dance. She apparently makes enough money to not have to dance because all the guys give her money and she makes her own money. Mm. So good for Cardi B. But besides all the silly bullshit, the beat is catchy and she can rap. You know, like a lot of people don't like Nicki Minaj and yada yada, and they don't like her personality, but she can rap too. So yeah, Cardi B can actually flow, man. You gotta check out that new Cardi B.
It's the list.
You do.
Maybe I could find some of her old footage.
Some of her old footage? What, as a stripper?
as a developing rapper in the clubs.
In the clubs? I don't know if that's there. I just it just amazes me that there's no rock in the top 50. Not a song.
Crazy to me.
It's crazy.
I don't get it.
But if you listen to like Q101 or any alternative rock radio station around here, it's not really rock. I mean, depending on what, you know, whatever your definition of rock is, like the new Portugal or the newer Portugal, the Man song, like that is not rock and roll. Mm-hmm. You know, like indie rock is rock, but I'm saying like something with a distorted guitar. I'll leave it that simple. There's nothing in the top 50 globally on Spotify globally or Spotify US top 50 that is a rock song.
It also might be in that traditional definition. I think it's kind of a struggling genre. It's out there. People are doing it, but it.
Well, you know, they have their own Billboard, and I was looking at that today too. And rock's the one genre that starts off really high, mm-hmm. and then like 2 weeks into it, it plummets. I think there's two reasons why that happens. The first one is rock has their diehard fanboy base or fangirl base. Right, so, for instance, the Brand New thing, going back to that, they were weird about how they released that, and everybody knew the rumors that they're probably going to break up and this is going to be their last album. But when they released it, they told no one. They just, if you subscribe to their email, they said, hey, there's 1,000 of our new album on record coming out and only 500 CDs, and it's coming out September 25th. And that was it. So what I'm getting at is if you're a fanboy or fangirl of a rock group, you buy all their stuff, and then you're probably the first to download it. So they get that initial rush of all their fans or kind of fans, and then it goes away. And then I also think that rock and roll is the first is the genre that gets downloaded the most, pirated illegally. So maybe that's why the real fan, because I'm one of those people, like, mm-hmm. I don't care if it, whatever genre it is, like if I really like the album, I'm going to buy it.
Right.
Like I want it. Like I'm going to touch it. I want to feel it. Right. You know, even if it's LP, CD, whatever, that's just my thing. I like to support bands, but maybe that has something to do with it.
Maybe.
You know, I don't know.
I wonder about that.
Yeah. It's an interesting fact. But another thing too on Spotify, like I would say the younger millennials probably all have a cell phone and they're all listening to music on their cell phone. And I've been doing the same thing for 7 years, like at least 7 years. Like I have an iPod with a ton of music and I have a crazy vinyl selection, but all my music I listen to every day is on my Spotify. So apparently hip-hop and R&B, especially hip-hop, is like the number one listen to genre of music. So I feel like it's important that I check out the top, you know, the top five songs and really try to dissect and see what the big deal is, mm-hmm. you know. And I think right now with a lot of this trap rap, like commercial trap rap, like right. I mentioned last week, it's just maybe a phase or a fad.
Hope so.
I hope so too. I'm not really a big fan. I'm trying to understand it just for the sake of understanding it. But I'll talk about hip hop a lot and hip hop releases. I love the genre, but I'm looking for very, very good wordplay, like delivery, like bars, because that's just what I grew up on.
Right.
And production, like the production has to be, I don't know, palatable. And I do like a lot of these trap beats and stuff like that, but it just kind of seems redundant and it's being over, you know, they're killing it. Like just the same hi-hat tempo and just the same basic mm-hmm. boring beat, but I'm trying to understand it. So that's really all I can say about that.
It's that maturity speaking.
It is. I'm just mature, but yeah, on You Only Live Twice with his bars, like it's passionate, you know, like he's, you could just tell like his wordplay is good, but he's coming from the heart. He's coming from the gut. And with Freddie, like he can hit you with all kinds of different styles. Like he's very versatile. And going back to Pinata, he shows that because Madlib and his production, his time signatures are crazy. Like he doesn't use your basic drum machine. He uses all of his samples. He gets them from old records and he cuts them up and divvies them up that way. You know what I'm saying? If that makes mm-hmm. any sense, like it's not a basic drum machine yeah. or a computer thing. Like he puts it together and he really pushed Freddie on that album. And I think he's just the best at it. Like versatility wise, like he could, if you want a trap beat and a trap rap, Freddie can do it. If you want the slow jam, Freddie can do it. And he can sing. Like I'm really surprised. Like I really think he's one of the best in the rap game right now. And he's maturing. He's definitely maturing. So I'm really happy to see where that's going. Another thing, as far as getting a hold of us for any feedback, you can email me at musicallymeditated@gmail.com. And in the Hobart area, some newer businesses that I like that I want to promote right now is the Librarium, the coffee shop.
Right, right.
Have you been there?
Yeah they're good people.
Yeah, they are good people.
Good
I really
coffee.
They're cookies. Both. I love their peanut butter, gluten-free cookies. They're awesome.
They just started they just started knocking out small menu items too. So they're starting to cook soups and breads and yeah.
What's the Mexican restaurant though? Shout out to the Mexican
Via del Sol.
Via del Sol.
It just opened up also.
I like it.
It's good.
It is good. I got the chili rellenos.
Yeah.
It was lovely.
Yeah.
It was filling. But yeah, shout out to the Librarium and shout out to
Via del Sol.
Via del Sol. And on the next episode for Musically Meditated, I'm going to go over a hip-hop album by John Wayne called Rap Album 2. So check that out maybe before the next episode if you get a chance. And I'm going to touch into a little bit of Kendrick Lamar combined with J. Cole because I think that they're on the same playing field and same level. And they both came out with a new album this year. I know J. Cole's technically came out in December of 16, but we'll just call that 17. And then Kendrick's came out within the last 3 months. So they're kind of older, but I think for hip hop, there are two really, really important figures. And rock wise, I know that maybe the new Converge will be out by that time. I know Mastodon just came out with something, so I want to go over that. And Primus came out with a new album too.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Good old Primus. So
nice.
Those will probably be in the works. Yeah. Isn't that crazy? Primus action. Yeah, a little Primus action. On a somber note, but it is what it is. It's October 3rd. I lost my best friend Mike Paris on this day in 2014. And I just want to give a shout out to him on the other side and to his family. And he was a big time fan of music. And the last time him and I went to a show, we saw a band called Nothing in Chicago. And they're a shoegaze alternative heavy metal kind of outfit. And the album is called Guilty of Everything. And I'll review that, because that's probably a sleeper that you haven't heard of. And if you like shoegaze alternative heavy metal, check out Nothing, Guilty of Everything. And we'll get into that.
Nice.
Have a good night. I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated.
That's right.
I'm musically meditated.